So good to be together and now to hear from the Word of God. God speaks to us by His Spirit, often through His Word that He has inspired and given to us. And this morning we have a great opportunity to hear from God's Word from a good friend of mine and a fellow pastor in our church. I want to just ask Gary to come on up. And some of you know Gary Leibovich, but many of you may not know Gary. Gary and I have known each other for, almost 20 years, I guess, and have been part of a couple of different churches together. But Gary, a number of years ago, became an elder at New City Fellowship, and then, 4 years ago so, became an ordained pastor, or was it two or three?
4 years.
Okay, so 4 years ago, Gary went to Covenant Seminary, and that's Robin. Robin, stand up a minute, because these guys go together. So welcome, Robin. Yes. For the last 2.5 years, Gary and Robin have been serving with our church that we partner with in Nairobi, Kenya, New City Fellowship in Kenya, New City, Nairobi, and they have been there in pastoral ministry, preaching, teaching, leading the church, and developing other ministries, a great ministry that God has really blessed that Robin's been leading. I think it's called Glory of Africa. So they would always love to talk with you more about that. They are back now, kind of in a season of transition and seeking God for what's next in their lives, but they're here in St. Louis. Most of their kids live in sort of Columbia, St. Louis area. And so I asked Gary to bring the Word of God to us this morning. I'm so looking forward to what God has to say through you. So can I lead us in prayer? Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you for Gary and Robin. Thank you that they are your faithful servants and that you have gifted them and blessed them. Lord, we want to pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to receive your Word, and that you would use Gary and his words this morning to speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Brother. Yeah.
Well, it's good to be here this morning, and it's really an honor. Am I on? Yeah? Good. It's just a privilege to be asked to preach the Word to you this morning, especially on Pentecost Sunday. And the honor and the privilege to speak on Pentecost Sunday is just the opportunity, just as a weak person, as, you know, somebody who is not, to really give honor and glory to the Holy Spirit of God, who empowers us as His church, you know, to bring forth life to others. And really, that's something that we are unable to do as God's people in our own strength. I mean, we can be funny, we can be clever, but we certainly cannot bring life apart from the Spirit of God. And so we just want to ask for His blessing today upon us as His people, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, to encourage our hearts, to understand how He has blessed us with power to be a blessing in this world. Amen. So as Kevin was saying, Robin and I have been in Nairobi, Kenya for 2.5 years. And it was really the most incredible 2.5 years of our life in so many ways. We hands down say that it was the most fruitful time of our lives. And it kind of was a surprise. We were just going there just to be a blessing. And God just opened up so many doors of opportunity to do that, and just so much more than in the way that we were expecting. I served on the team there at New City Fellowship Nairobi as an associate pastor, and Robin, several months in, I guess it was almost 6 months into us being in Nairobi, was just praying, Lord, what is the role that you want me to play? And a friend of ours there at New City had started Amani Yaju. Have you heard of Amani? Okay, Amani Yaju, yeah. Sarah's heard of Amani. Ed has heard of Amani. So Amani Yaju is a ministry that was started by Becky Chin Chin just to provide a loving environment for women, mainly refugees at the time there in Nairobi, and it's grown to be an incredible ministry, employing over 100 women in several different countries, and creating beautiful things and being able to sell them to be self-sustaining. And so Robin kind of started a similar project, and that was 2 years ago that Glory of Africa began. And with that same model of just wanting to be a loving, safe environment for women, wanting to offer women the opportunity to learn how to sew and to create beautiful things and to provide a living wage. And so pray with us just for Glory of Africa, for New City Nairobi, and for Robin and I, as we're all just kind of in a time of transition. As Kevin said, today is Pentecost, and for those of you who've seen my big, fat Greek wedding, that's my wife is always wanting to say, honey, can we watch my big, fat Greek wedding? And for those of you who have seen it, and I love the movie, but, you know, after I've seen it once or twice, it's kind of like, really, we have to watch that again, honey? But in my big, fat Greek wedding, there's the dad, right? And he's always giving the Greek word for an English word, right? So if I could just play the Greek dad this morning for you. The word Pentecost is just a Greek word that means 50. And the reason that the Greeks came up with that word is because it is... Pentecost is just the Greek name for a Jewish feast that came 50 days after what holiday? Who knows? Passover. Yeah. Easter and Passover, kind of one and the same in terms of the unfolding of God's revelation in the earth. And so in the Old Testament, it was a day when the first fruits of the wheat harvest were presented to God. And F.F. Bruce, if you're a theologian, you might know that name. He points out that in later Judaism, it was reckoned to be the anniversary of the giving of the law on Sinai, which is reasonable in light of if you read Exodus 19:1. But on the church calendar, Pentecost Sunday marks the day that the Holy Spirit first came upon the apostles and their company. And the question for us this morning is, okay, so what? You know, you read the book of Acts and it's like, wow, whoo-hoo, you know, that's exciting. You know, they were speaking in tongues and, you know, it was just an incredible day of miracles. But what is the significance to us today? And I think in order to understand the significance, you have to go back just before Pentecost, before Jesus died and rose from the dead. In Luke 24, it's recorded that he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day raise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations before beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Can you say that? Power from on high. So if you want to understand the significance of God giving us his Holy Spirit, it's about being empowered by God to do the things that we cannot do, that we are unable to bring, we are unable to be life givers apart from God. You know, so everything that God calls us to do, if you're kind of like me, you're going to say, "I can't do that, Lord." You know, love my wife, or my wife, love my husband. That is really tough. But what about love your enemy? What about reconcile with people who are very different from you? What about forgive when you have been deeply hurt? The things that God has called us to do that actually testify to the reality of Jesus is impossible, and it's okay for us to understand the impossibility of what we've been called to. And so we can be transparent as God's people. We don't have to put on any facades. Isn't that good news, church? We can actually just be honest. I cannot do that, but God, who has come upon me, will do it through us. Amen? And so that's why he's given us his Holy Spirit. And it's important to understand that this power from on high is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, Paul prayed this prayer that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to understand what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So now that the Holy Spirit has come, Paul is just praying, look at what God has given you, church. And I know that many of you are probably thinking, I'm a believer, and I know I have the Holy Spirit, but I really don't see the power. Anybody? I'm there like almost every day. I wake up kind of just thinking, I can't do it, Lord. And so if anybody's like me, just what I want to encourage you in as we read from Acts 2, 1 to 21 is that our hearts together would be encouraged that God has poured out his Spirit with power so that we can prophesy, so that we can unify, and so that we can be fruitful and multiply. So a good 3-point sermon: to prophesy, to unify, and to be fruitful and multiply. So read with me in God's word from Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews and devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking in our own language the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? In other words, what's the significance of this? But others were mocking, saying, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, and all who are in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. That's 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in these last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you, O Lord, for your word, for we know in it is life. We pray for your Holy Spirit this morning to give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us as his church. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. So it's important to understand that there are many things. Kevin mentioned many functions of the Holy Spirit, but Joel pointed out three functions, I believe, that are very important for us to understand the power that God has given us. And the first reason that God's poured out his Holy Spirit is so that we have power to prophesy. Verse 17, and in the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is incredible news. No longer is God's power only given to the leaders of his people. In the Old Testament, God gave his Spirit and he gave power, whether it was to prophesy or to lead. The Holy Spirit was pretty much given to leaders in order to reveal Jesus, or in order to reveal God to the community of faith and to the world. But now a day has come, Joel prophesied, that from the least to the greatest, sons and daughters and female servants and male servants, what that means is everybody from the least to the greatest will all have God's Holy Spirit and are now prophets of God. Numbers 11:27, and a young man ran and told Moses, Eliad and Mehad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to them, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Do you understand that God calls leaders merely to equip you to do works of service until the world understands and sees Jesus? That it's not, we're not the performers. We're not the ones given the Spirit in order to just perform all these miracles in order that the world knows that Jesus is Lord. It's our job to come under you as God's people and encourage you that you are prophetic, that God gives you the ability to see what can't be seen and to declare it to the world. So what does it mean to be prophetic? What does it mean to prophesy? Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around them. And behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. That means not only was the guy dead, but he was dead for a long time. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. I love that. It's kind of like, I'm not going to tell God. I don't know the answer. You know the answer, Lord. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Twice he says this, you shall live and you will know that I am the Lord. So what does it mean to prophesy? It means to speak to this lost and dying world, you shall live. It means to go to the nations and say, you shall live. It means to look at the double deadness of the world and not to be in any way discouraged from the fact of what is to come. What is to come? What is to come is not death, it's life. The world prophesies death. We prophesy life. It's because we can see what cannot be seen. And it's based upon the promises of God. When we nourish our hearts, not just with the 5 o'clock news, but when we nourish our hearts with the Word of God, we understand God's good intention for the nations of the world. It's that they would live. I see Reverend Rice. Welcome. And Reverend Rice looks at great brokenness in the city every day. But what he says to them is, you shall live. And they live. Not every homeless man comes to Jesus, but many of them do. You know, I've been a believer for close to 35 years. I was brought up in a Jewish home. And if I look with my eyes, it seems impossible that people from the Jewish community are going to come to Jesus. My family are very adamant. I am Jewish. I will never believe in Jesus. But what I have to have the confidence is in the Word of God, that God is merciful, that He shows favor to those who do not deserve it. Like all of us, right? None of us came to the Lord because we're good. So we can look at anybody. It doesn't matter what their brokenness is. And we can say, you shall live in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to be prophetic. You know, I was saved in a charismatic church, and I love to get up and I love to prophesy. I love to tack on the words, thus says the Lord. But really, we don't need to say, thus says the Lord. We just need to be life-giving people, and we will prophesy, whether it's with our words or even with our deeds. Revelation 9:10, then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Now listen. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you understand that what it means to prophesy is we testify that Jesus has life? So it's prophetic to give hope to the hopeless. It's prophetic to bring healing and comfort to the sick. It's prophetic to seek justice for the poor. It's prophetic to be generous with those who are in need. It's prophetic when we declare that there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. The gospel itself is a prophetic narrative that speaks life to the nations in the name of Jesus. And in this day of darkness, I know that, you know, I was speaking with a group from a church on Skype the other day. And one woman said, do you think that we've lost our freedom as Christians? And I said, no, I don't. I think that we have freedom. And actually, as more legal freedoms are taken away, the greater the spiritual freedom we have to declare life. And why is that? It's because they didn't love their life even to death. We're not afraid to speak life. Because it's loving. It's good to speak life. Isn't that great news? So, hey, prophets, it doesn't matter whether it's with word or deed, actually in both ways, with our lives, with what we do and what we say, we have the opportunity to speak life. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is my hero. Anybody else? I mean, he's my hero. And the reason is really he was a prophet because he was able to see what was beautiful and call us to it in the name of Jesus. He was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. And that's really our call, to be prophets of God. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That means that we've been given the power to prophesy life and blessings in the world. But he says, don't put that lamp under a basket. You know, you set the lamp on the table. And the way that we do that is we believe the love of God in Christ Jesus. You know, and we declare it in his name. So have you put your light under the basket? Is it kind of somewhere down here rather than up here? Anybody? I mean, it's okay. You know, we can be honest. That's where I am all the time. I mean, I am a fearful person. And God is merciful to the fearful. All we have to do is just admit it. I'm fearful. You know, I'm afraid to be bold. I'm afraid to just offer life to others. But when we're honest with the Lord, you know what the Lord does? The Lord forgives us and he pours out his Holy Spirit on us. Amen. God has poured out his Spirit so that we have power to prophesy and that we have power to unify. Verse 41 to 44. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. So what that means is not a picture of separate but equal. They were together. They shared everything that they had together. So who were the all? There were 15 nations. I mean, basically from the whole Roman Empire and even beyond, Jews and unbelievers that were together that day that God poured out his Spirit on, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day from different cultures and different nations and different races and different economic classes, different genders. Maybe there were even homeless there. But the fact is that they were empowered by God to come together. And it is the testimony of Jesus. It is even prophetic as we come together in the earth that Jesus is known. The scriptures declare that they will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. And that doesn't mean love just for me as a white man with other white guys. It means that people see these people that are very different, that in the world can't get along, but somehow I see them not only getting along, but actually learning to love one another. So why does God empower us? One of the reasons, John 17, that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So one of the reasons that God makes us one is so that people can see the nature of God himself. God is a Trinity. God is not just homogeneous. He is... heterogeneous, if you will. There is more than one in God. And also unity reflects our need for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So really, unity is the declaration that I need you. And so the example that's given in Scripture is a body. What if a body was just all an eye? Well, first of all, you'd look pretty funny. I mean, one big eye just kind of sitting there is kind of ridiculous looking, isn't it? But also the fact of the matter is that we're dysfunctional. We can't function. I cannot function properly without all the parts of my body. Now, those of you who know Joni Erickson Tada, an incredible believer who was her spine was injured in a diving accident back in 1967. I mean, she can do incredible things even though she's quadriplegic. But she still can't do everything that she would be able to do had she the use of every part that God had given us. And so, church, God has empowered us as a church, not just empowered the white guys, all white guys together. Our pastor up at New City Central, Barry, once said that, you know, a homogeneous church is a church, it's just a handicapped church. In other words, we need one another to be empowered together to do what we're called to do fully. And so that's why, even though it's hard, it is hard to reconcile. But we are called to it because we need one another. So if I know that I need you, it allows me, if I know I need my wife, it allows me to reconcile with her on a daily basis. I don't just throw her off when things get hard. And especially the other way around. Because it's much harder for her than for me, I guarantee you, in this marriage. But the truth is that the reason we have the encouragement to go on for 32 years, not 40, but 32, is because we need each other. How much more, church, are we willing to do the hard work of reconciliation because we know our need one for another? Amen? So, if you have not recently just sought out somebody from a different race or a different class, I encourage you, ask the Lord for His blessing and strength to do that. I mean, there's no condemnation wherever we're at in this process of God maturing us in Christ. There's no condemnation. I mean, I feel like the longer I serve Christ, the more immature that I see that I really am. So once again, we just need to be honest. You know, this is hard for me. It's hard for me to not only greet somebody from Burma here in our church, but to actually say, hey, could we get together? You know, that's not easy. It's easier to say to somebody of my own race, hey, you want to have lunch or you want to get together? But I need my brothers and sisters from Burma. I need my brothers and sisters who are black or who are yellow, who are poor. I need you. And so that encourages my heart by the power of God that we can come together. And lastly, God has poured out His Spirit. First, because we have power to prophesy, because we have power to unify. And lastly, we have power to be fruitful and multiply. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord, that the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 41. So those who received His word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. So what God has given us is he's empowered us as his church to be fruitful and to multiply through the preaching of the gospel in word and deed. Isaiah proclaims God's promise to empower us. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren one. It's important to understand that we are barren without the power of God. But God speaks to the barren and he says, who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. So what he's saying is, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. You know, we are a modest church here. I mean, we're not a mega church, but understand that God has made a promise upon us as his people. This is our promise. And God has promised us as his people that we're going to be fruitful and multiply. If you go to another church, the Beeksmas are here from Hawaii, friends of Hal and Hiroko Bush. And we met them 7 years ago. We just were on our 25th anniversary and we got to meet this incredible family. Their son's just graduating from WashU, right? Oh, just coming here. Okay, I'll hold my congratulations. But the fact of the matter is that if you're in another church or if you're here, the promise is yours to be fruitful and to multiply. You know, my wife, Robin, and I have friends back in Nairobi, and they are a precious young couple. And in the last 2 years, they have miscarried four children. And you can imagine the incredible grief that they feel. But God speaks to such as that. And he says, sing, O barren one. So do you feel barren, church? Do you feel impotent to really see people from this lost and dying world brought into the world? Ask. And see the marvel of God amongst us. Amen? So today, as we celebrate Pentecost with believers around the world, let's worship the Holy Spirit. I don't think of worshiping the Holy Spirit very often, but he's God, so it's okay. We can worship the Father and we can worship the Son, but we can worship the Holy Spirit for the power that he gives us to prophesy, the power he gives us to unify, and the power that he gives us to be fruitful and to multiply. But it's important to understand where this strength is hidden. Have you ever lost anything? I'm losing things all the time. And usually I'm looking in the wrong place to find them. But the Lord tells us where to look for his strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities. Listen, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, the devil wants to make us ashamed of the fact that we're weak, but God encourages us by his word to boast in the fact that we are weak. He wants to make us ashamed of the fact that I'm not as smart as somebody else, or I'm not as clever as somebody else, or I'm not as talented as somebody else. But you know, God has called that which is not, in order that the power can be understood to be his and not ours, so that no man might boast. So, dear children of the Most High God, understand that God has put us in a weak position, and culturally, we're getting weaker, not stronger, aren't we? I mean, there's been times in church history when the church is kind of on top, but we're not on top anymore. And I would suggest to you that that's a good thing. That when God makes us weak, watch out, world, because God will put power in His church through our weakness. Amen? Amen. Father, we are so thankful to You for Your incredible love, O God, that You have given us Your Holy Spirit today. We worship You as Your people, O Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen.
All right. That's good, isn't it, church? Amen. Thank you, Gary. Let's make a circle and gather around the outside of the sanctuary. And we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning.